Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have voted that have skin in the game. They probably bet it. They've probably heard other people word of mouth talk about how the Chiefs have benefited. Because basically that's who it is now. They're basically the Patriots. They've inserted themselves.
I do think
that
it's come up a couple times today. Troy Aikman blasting the refs 2 weeks ago, that stuck with people.
Yeah.
It's like
because that kind of you add fuel to the fire.
Yep.
Now there are some bad refs out there. There's some bad calls to be made, but I can't wrap my mind around the fact that it's people feel like it's a carefully orchestrated game and everybody's supposed to do this, that, and the third, and it all culminates in the refs, you know, holding the outcome of the game in their hands.
It doesn't fly to
That's
me.
A lot.
It does.
That's
and
a lot.
I think it's coping. I think it's excuse-making. If the Eagles play excellent football on Sunday, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Then the referees.
But and let me be clear, too, Joe. That's not me saying that there are not refs out there that might have an affinity for Patrick Mahomes and might feel some kind of way about him and let that cloud their judgment during the course of the game. I'm not saying that. But to sit there and say full-on, they sitting in the locker room And they have a script saying what the score needs to be that they have to follow. No, I don't believe that. Definitely don't believe that.
I also just think it takes two to tango. Like on every single Mahomes play, let's just use Mahomes for the example, right? That is a late hit or whatever they call. Someone's hitting him. It's not from thin air. Now, you might say that was a bad call or it wasn't actually helmet to helmet, but someone's hitting him. Like that, to me, if I'm Fangio this week, I'm showing my players penalties that have been called on the defense and what they've done. And, like, we're not
doing
that.
Yeah, you just have to be – like, this is one of those things, man, going into the game, in all honesty, you just have to be smarter. You say, hey, I know that there's probably going to be some favoritism for Patrick Mahomes. If you feel like it's going to be a late hit, don't hit him. Do everything that you can in your power to do everything between the whistles. And if it feels like it's going to be outside the whistle or he's going to grandstand or something like that, don't do it. That's easy. That's easy to do. I mean, hell, it used to be like that for Dan Marino. Hey, better not touch him, especially if the ball's gone. Hell, Dan would say something to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's one of those things. But let's not – I feel like because everybody has a voice now and it's easy when you have other people that co-sign it. So it's one of those things like I said, I don't think it's to the depth that a lot of people feel that it is, but I think it's more so on the human side when it comes to the referees.
Our Twitter question is sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. Nearly 60% of people do believe this is a real thing, that the Eagles will, that the refs are going to be against the Eagles on Sunday. I don't buy it. Elliot's going to join us in a few minutes here live on Radio Row. Juice at South Philly is up. Hey, Juice.
Kyle.
Juice. Hey, Juice.
Yeah, you hear me?
Gotcha, Juice. What's up, buddy?
All right. So so I just wanted to kind of – I don't really feel like it's rigged in a sense like the WWE where they know the outcome's coming. But I definitely think there's a little bit of water to be held, let's say, in the referee. So I heard a stat yesterday, 17 games in a row, 11 in the playoffs, where the Kansas City Chiefs opponent – had more penalties than the Kansas City Chiefs did during the game. It's hard to win a football game when you have more penalties than the other team, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So every game, you could say almost on every play, there's someone being held.
Yes.
I understand what you're saying, but you can't victim blame. Oh, well, it's his fault he didn't get off the block. He's got to get off the block, do a better job. No.
Wait a minute, hold up, dog. Seriously, wait a minute, hold up. Time out. This is football. That victim blaming stuff does not hunt. If you can't get off the block, then that means you probably shouldn't be playing in the NFL. But that victim blaming stuff, that dog ain't hunting in the NFL, bro. Get off the block.
All right, so here's what does hunt. The referees paid to do a job. Just because they wear a color of their jersey doesn't mean, oh, well, my son likes this guy, so I'm not going to throw a flag
Juice,
on
can
him.
Can I stop you for 1 second and ask you this question? Let me ask you this question. You talked about how some of the teams that the Kansas City Chiefs played against, they had more penalties against them than others. Okay. Let me give you this hypothetical situation. If I'm the Kansas City Chiefs and I'm game planning for a team, and part of the information of me game planning for this team, I tell my team, I say, hey, these guys are undisciplined. They do a lot of stuff after the whistle. They like to get physical after the whistle. If I know all that, do you think that that's a strategy that I could use that could help me win the football game? Is that considered a strategy?
Absolutely.
Why not play to their weakness if that's what they're doing?
17 opponents in a row were all undisciplined?
If they got 17 calls their way, and if their scouting department knows that there are teams that are undisciplined in certain situations, isn't that an advantage?
Absolutely.
Let me wrap it up for you in a real nice little bow. If I'm a team playing against the Kansas City Chiefs and I know that they are getting an egregious amount of calls, what should I do as a strategy to stop them from getting calls? Stop doing stuff after the whistle. It's that simple. You can control. Like, this is a narrative that can be controlled. That's why I don't have a problem with it, because if I'm going into a game playing the Kansas City Chiefs, and I know that the refs have an affinity for making calls for them, guess what I'm going to do as a defender? Do everything within my power not to give them anything cheap, because they're already a good football team. That's just a good strategy.
So I agree with that. But so let's go to the Texans game. When they both tackled him, they hit each other. Mahomes is laying on the ground underneath them. How do you suggest that they don't get a penalty there?
A bad call doesn't mean there's something deeper going on.
But it's not a bad call. So in our Super Bowl that we lost, I definitely agree 100% that one play doesn't make the whole Super Bowl.
Of course,
but
right.
When we're inside of 2 minutes and there hasn't been a holding call all game, and on the fourth
so
down.
If Bradbury holds him, you don't want them to call it? Like, oh, we're just not going to call this? He held him.
And Bradbury said he helped.
They did that the whole game. Cornerbacks grab the back of the jersey
I get it.
We moved the line.
One more thing, and Elliot's going to
address
you.
But you're moving the line.
How am I moving?
Can I reset the line? Because Juice threw a fact at us that is actually not true. So I believe he said 17 straight games the Chiefs' opponents had more penalties.
Mm-hmm.
On Christmas, the Chiefs 29, the Steelers 10. They moved to 15-1. The Chiefs had 9 penalties that night. The Steelers had 4. We're creating things now. Like I haven't looked at all their games, but I think we're going overboard with
them. See, I think it's a coping mechanism, because like I just said, as a defender, and this is how I see it, I control the narrative, especially when you talk about the penalties that could be levied against me against the quarterback. You know how I do that? Number one, I used to do this all the time. I would go in the game and say, hey, ref, I'm not the tallest guy out here, so, you know, I'm going to probably be held a little bit, so could you please watch for that? And I would, during the course of the game, I would never be able to say, hey, ref, come on, man, they held me on that play.
He was out there looking for handouts on the field?
I'm politicking. Hey, because it's an edge. It's an edge.
It's like when he comes in now looking for free breakfast.
So it's
unbelievable.
Politicking. It's politicking. Y'all act like when y'all say this stuff about me, y'all shaming me. I am comfortable in who I am as an individual.
I think you were right
to
do that.
I am comfortable.
Well, so, like, I guess what I was thinking there is, over the course of 17 games, and you have a team that is superior to another team, like, every time the Chiefs lined up against somebody, they were likely, they were the better team this season, right? The better team is often better coached, and the better coached team is often more disciplined. Like, don't you think, like, correlation doesn't always equal causation. They probably commit less penalties.
That is a strategy.
And it wasn't even facts.
And it's a strategy. If I know, the one thing that I remember the year that I was in New York when Bill Parcells was there is that he preached disciplined football. And he always talked about, I forgot the percentages, but he said the team that makes the least amount of mistakes in a football game has a better chance of winning the football game. And when you do that little thing right there, increases your chances a lot. And so if I know that I'm playing against a team that, hey, you know, okay, Vontae is perfect. He likes to play a little bit after the whistle. So if I give him a little nudge in the chest, it's a good chance he might get upset and lose his lunch. Mm-hmm. He might lose his stuff. That's a strategy. If I know I got a guy out there that likes to chirp and can't keep his emotions in check, I'm going to make him mad. That 15-yard penalty could be the difference between me scoring and me kicking the ball.
No doubt. All right, let's welcome Elliot. And Elliot Shore Park's with us live at Radio Row. Elliot, how we doing?
What up? How you guys doing today?
Good.
I like the little decorations we got going on.
Yes, it's more festive today.
More festive, more crowded today. I think
We're on the air. I think people can hear us
today.
That's
another good start. Yep. My mic was off for 40 minutes for the afternoon show yesterday. Some say it was the best hit I ever did. But, you know. I think after media light night last night, coming here today, it's starting to feel more and more like Super Bowl.
I agree. There's more people here today. What'd you take away from meeting that last time before we get to our topic we'll throw at you today?
Yeah, I mean, I think when every single player is available and the GM and the owner, there's a lot of takeaways. I would say on a large scale, like, I think the Eagles are well set up to handle the distractions of this week. From what I heard of last night, I didn't hear every player. They are singularly focused on winning the Super Bowl. And I know people will hear that and go, every team, that's every team's focus. Not really. In 2017 to 2022, they didn't start the season talking about the Super Bowl in any realistic way. This team, from the second the game ended against Kansas City in 2022, has been about the Super Bowl. Now, they didn't accomplish it last year, but this year they're one game away. And last night, with all the hoopla, all the craziness, all the questions, all the thing I heard the most is, we're focused on the game, da-da-da, like, so I think all year, having one singular message, it really helped them last night. And with the distractions of the week, I think you can really tell this team is staying locked in despite the distractions.
Yeah, I feel that. It almost feels like they didn't have much experience. Like last time, what was it, Lane, BG? There was
a
handful.
Yeah, a five-year difference, too.
They were mostly new to this.
Yes.
The coaching, this group, they've done this. I mean, there's some young guys, but for the most part, I would say, maybe 30 players on this team and coaches have been here before?
Well, and I think that's such a major benefit because – you know, they do something one way all year. When they prepare for a game, they practice at the NovaCare. They lift at the NovaCare. They eat the food at the NovaCare. They have the smoothie they like at the NovaCare. And now it's the biggest game of the year, maybe the biggest game they'll ever play in their careers, and everything is different.
Right.
The hotel, the weights, the food, the schedule. And so I think having experience and having gone through it – now, look, the Chiefs are obviously very experienced too, so they're not going to have an edge there. But I do think the team seems better – prepared for this week.
Yeah, I agree with that. Elliot, where do you come down on the referee stuff? It's building this story, right? The Chiefs and the refs. Yesterday, Goodell addressed it. Clark Hunt addressed it. Travis Kelce was joking about it. Do you think the referees are going to be favorite against the Eagles on Sunday?
No. And I think this referee stuff is the most, like, overblown thing that we talk about with this game. Do the Chiefs get calls? Yes. Do the Eagles get calls? Yes. Does Mahomes get hit and do they throw a flag? Yes. But you know what? You can't hit the quarterback. It is what it is. There's been times this year where Jalen Carter's got a penalty and people go like, well, that's a soft flag. If you extend your arms towards a player,
they're
guess what?
It.
You're going to get it called. The Bradbury play. I rewatched the Super Bowl last week.
He held.
Now, I wouldn't have thrown it in that spot, but he held blatantly, and he admitted to holding. Now, the throw was bad, and who knows? If he's not held, I don't even think it's a completion anyway. But this idea that the Chiefs are going to be favored in the game because of the referees, I just fully disagree with.
And it feels like coping. Like the Bills do this, right? Everything the Bills do to the Chiefs, they cope and they change rules for them. Like that 2 weeks ago when they didn't get the quarterback sneak on the 4th-and-1, like, well, the spot was off. Well, how about get it? Like, you left it up to a spot.
Yeah.
Well, it's an inch.
And the other thing, too, is, like, does Mahomes maybe get favored on calls? Like, maybe. I don't even agree with people on much as that. But regardless, you want to know why? Because he's the best quarterback of all time. So, like, yes, they're going to maybe look after him a little bit more, but you know that going in. This isn't a rule change they're going to find out midway through the second quarter. They have to be a disciplined team against the Chiefs. And also, I think one of the reasons it stands out so much that the Chiefs gets flags is because they themselves don't get flagged a ton because they are a disciplined team. So when we watch games where the Chiefs play and it's not an Eagles game, let's say it's the Bills or the Ravens or whoever, the reason it stands out the Chiefs get all the calls is because they're not committing infractions on their own, so you see the Chiefs get way more calls. I think this idea about the refs, we have to overlook it. It's not part of the game. Fans that are talking about it, like, get it out of your head. The Eagles, if they win or lose, it will be because of what they do, not because of the refs.
I agree. And it look, like, Mahomes has lost games. If teams play well against him, he can lose. He lost a Super Bowl once. Like,
yes.
This is this idea.
He's not undefeated in his career.
Of course not. I mean, like, this idea the Eagles can't overcome the refs, or it's a big thing on Sunday. If the Eagles play really well, the refs can only do so. Even if you thought it was a thing, which I don't think it is. Like, what are they going to do if the Eagles are up 17?
Well, and here's the other thing. Every single week, I see clips from around the league of fans going crazy. Like, how could they call this? This, you know, you can't. It's touch football now. You can't even touch the quarterback. So the Chiefs are not – Mahomes is not the only quarterback that gets favoritism from that.
Yep.
The NFL has decided for years now to protect the quarterback and to make sure that if you touch – basically, if you touch him, it's a flag. And that's the rule. So complaining about it now going into this game, will a flag impact this game? Absolutely. That happens in every single football game. But the Eagles are not at any type of disadvantage when it comes to the referees.
The other thing with the Chiefs is they're in the big game every year and every week, so there's more eyeballs
exactly.
on it.
Yes.
Like, the people just see it, and then someone brought up more legalized sports betting, so more people betting on them or against them, and they're just annoyed that they're losing money. It's crazy. I think if the Eagles lose this game on Sunday, it's not because of the referees. 215-592-9494. Let's grab Black Gritty, who joins us here. What's up, Black Gritty?
Good morning, Joe Giglio. Good morning, Flip Flops. Regular morning, Hugh Douglas. Regular
Good
morning.
Hey, what's up, man?
Nice regular morning. What's up?
Right. So, first of all, Chris said it. The Chiefs have had three Super Bowls where they haven't had one holding call. The only game they had a holding call was when they went against the other Golden Boy. And that's when they got holding calls, when they went against Tom Brady. Now, as far as the Tom Brady thing, I'll say this. I don't think the Patriots had the refs on their side, but they got caught cheating three times. So it's always amazing to me how much we put them on this pedestal when the team and the quarterback was caught cheating red-handed. We just gloss over that like it's nothing. So I'm not saying that the Chiefs are out here cheating or doing anything, but people are also human beings, and people favor certain things. Now, my thing is, go out there and play the game you're supposed to play and win the game. But all this stuff that's going on, I actually like it. Not for my team or my worry, but for if there's nothing wrong, then they're going to make sure there's nothing wrong because everybody's talking about it. I'm not worried about it. I bet Chiefs money line every single week except for two games this year and not this week. But I've made my money off the Chiefs. So regardless of what you think is going on, some people out here making money know how things go for them. Because when you are good, you do play good. But no holding calls in the Super Bowl. I'm only talking about three Super Bowls that they won with no holding calls. So the other team that made it to the Super Bowl isn't prepared, elite, determined, coached well. I think they would be. So, again, there's little things that just make you feel a certain way. But I don't care about that because I watched Cook go out there with a 33-yard long run. And I know Saquon could do double that. I watched them run roughshod on them in the third quarter. And then they forgot about it and started throwing the ball around. We're not going to do that. So I have no worries about the refs. If there's a ref, uncle, sister, cousin, brother that got $1 million on it, he's about to lose his shirt because the Philadelphia Eagles are walking in there and kicking the door down and getting us that George W. And as long as Hugh Douglas ain't out there betraying people like he does to this boy out there in New Orleans, we're going to be all right. You know what I'm saying? Because you'll be treating people falsely. You know what I mean? Flip-flops. Never take him to another steak dinner again. Never again, flip-flops. This man did me dirty on the internet. Wait till you get back to Philadelphia, Hugh. Go back!
Good call, Black Gritty. We appreciate it.
You know what's funny? Black Gritty all week was like, Elliot, you got to get a mic for the interviews you do with the players. Listen to that phone. You know, you can't even hear him.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was back there. If people could, I think it might just be our headset. Hopefully back home everyone could hear him. Well, yeah, but yeah, it was a little choppy at the end with Black Gritty.
We've been having issues.
Yeah, but so far so good today, Hugh. It's not.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm just saying it's just in general. No, I mean, we doing what we do, but it's, you know. You know, we can't control everything.
All right, Elliot, while you're with us, got to ask you. Last night, so the players all spoke, right? But Jeff Lurie also spoke. Howie was there for a little bit. Lurie, a couple things. One, seemed to throw cold water on the idea of buying the Boston Celtics, which was a story a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but I would not read too much.
My read on that was maybe he just isn't going to get them, so it's easy to say I didn't want them anyway.
Maybe. I think it was mostly what's he going to say last night, right? Yeah. I believe 4 days before the Super Bowl.
It's not the time.
Yeah, so I think, you know, he was complimentary of the Celtics. That was a little noteworthy to me. Yeah, I think if Jeffrey Lurie can buy the Celtics, he'll buy the Celtics. And I'll be very curious to see how fans react to that, considering how Josh Harris has really been ripped.
Oh, no, they're not going to rip Jeff.
Right. Yeah. There's going to be hypocrisy.
I mean, well, because I heard a lot of like, Jeffrey Lurie would never do this.
And
like,
now he might.
And now he might. And guess what? That's fine. Just like it's fine Josh Harris owns other teams. It doesn't make him a bad owner of the Sixers, and it won't make Jeffrey a bad owner of the Eagles if he owns the Celtics.
It'll make him a bad owner because he ain't showed the Eagles no love. He told him congratulations, did he?
Josh Harris.
Well, that I didn't like. I agree with you on that.
Well, because they just beat him.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean,
he was in a bad spot, but I'm just being at this point. I'm just being a nudge.
So the other thing last night you had to feel good about was, I mean, you have been in favor of a dome in Philadelphia for a long time, and it seemed to me.
You might get your wish.
Jeff Lurie last night talking about Super Bowls, Final Fours. You need a roof for those things.
Well, the good news is it won't just be me getting my wish. All the fans will love it when they build a dome in Philadelphia. I guarantee you. Here's
what will happen. But that snow game we just had 2 weeks ago never happens again.
I agree.
It never happens again.
I agree, and that sucks. That is one of the downsides. But you know what else? The games, once they put a roof on the Link or whatever the new stadium will be called, it instantly becomes the hardest place to play in the NFL. Playing in a dome is so,
and it's loud.
It's so much louder.
I see what you're saying.
If you add Eagles fans in a dome, like for a 4 o'clock kickoff, when they've been tailgating,
yeah.
And not to mention, it'll be way nicer. I've been to every dome in the NFL.
Way nicer.
They're way, way nicer.
And we won't have to be outside.
Wait a second. Are you on board with this now?
No, I'm just thinking about the possibilities. I'm not on board with it.
It sounds like you want to be out of the cold.
I'm workshopping.
Yeah, I could tell.
Here's what'll happen.
I won't need a coat.
No.
Exactly. So you can save your $30 on your coat.
30 of them things.
Yeah. Here's what'll happen. They're going to build a dome. And for 4 years before it's built, everyone's going to say, this is awful,
this is
terrible.
Do they like it?
And then they'll go, and they'll be like, this is unbelievable, and it'll be the best home atmosphere in the NFL. And
so how are we going to put a dome on top of the Link? We're going to have to tear the Link down then. So get rid of the Link.
Does currently any northeast or northern weather city have a dome? Only Minnesota, right?
Yeah, so Buffalo doesn't. New York doesn't.
There was some talk about putting a dome in Buffalo.
Obviously, Green Bay doesn't. Chicago.
Yeah.
There's been talk in Chicago and Cleveland. So maybe that's what happened too.
Oh, the one in Cleveland, they're trying to put the kibosh on because they're moving it out from the waterfront.
They want to put it in the
suburbs. I think Chicago might be putting a dome on. But also, guess what? MetLife, one of the worst stadiums in the NFL. Buffalo, just completely foolish. They're not putting a roof on that stadium.
You can't
right?
put those people inside.
Yes, you can.
They don't want to be inside.
Those people?
The Bills fans.
who's spending?
He said those people.
who's spending $5 billion to build a house and having a hole in the top of it?
But it's not a house. You're not sleeping.
It's not a house.
It's a very expensive house.
You're not sleeping there.
You want to know why you're not? Because there's no roof.
Stadium.
No. If there's a roof, you can do whatever you want in that stadium. We have concerts, Super Bowls.
Wait, the Link has concerts all the time. Taylor Swift sells the place out for a week.
Guess when they don't have concerts?
In the winter.
7 months out of the year.
Why do I care about their concerts?
Well, we can go to a concert.
We can.
You could have came to Taylor Swift. It was in the summer. It was fun. It was awesome. But if now she could do it in the winter.
Well, that's fine. I'm not worried about that. You're taking away the snow games.
And how many snow games have there been over the last 12 years?
How memorable are they?
Significant snow games.
They were amazing.
And they're gone.
I agree. But there's a lot of
things. Part of our childhood memories.
There's a lot of things that used to be great we don't get anymore. Want to know why? Because there's technology and there's advancements in it.
We
don't
should go
like
outside
it.
And play to the streetlights.
People
Come on,
only
not
say
no more.
Football's meant to play it outside because when they invented the sport, there were no
but it also makes it more interesting because you have a warm weather team going to a cold. Like, eventually we'll sanitize football.
Yeah, that advantage is going to be
we're
gone.
We're going to sanitize football if everyone has a dome.
And guess what? It'll be a better product because of that. Teams will be on an even playing field. We'll see the best. Like, look, the snow game was awesome, right? But look at the skill players the Eagles have. Saquon, AJ, Devontae, Jalen, Dallas. I want to see those guys at their best in an environment where they can be their best, not when they're slipping all around. Everyone
you mean warm.
Yeah, exactly.
We're like heaters and heating buttons.
I'm with you for the Super Bowl. I think the Super Bowl should be played in that kind of environment. Which
why only the Super Bowl?
Because it's the biggest game. Like, then you kind of even the playing field for the two teams. Like, home field advantage should mean something.
So the playing field shouldn't be evened in other weeks?
No, because
what about in the conference championship?
You have home field, you earn that. So if you're a dome team, you earn the right to play on a fast track. If you're the Eagles, you earn the right to play potentially in weather.
So think about this. You're the Rams, right? You play in a dome all year. You worked all year to get to that game. And now because it's snowing, you're at a disadvantage.
Yeah, get home field.
That's not fair.
Yeah, it is. It's
football.
Everyone can have home field advantage.
But the fairest would be if it was an even playing field across the league. And that's what it'll be. I got news for you. Other than
sanitizing
Buffalo,
sanitizing of football.
It's not sanitizing. It's bettering football. It's advancing the game.
Yeah, but home field should mean something.
It will when there's 70,000 Eagles
loud.
Fans.
Every stadium's loud.
It's not true. I've been to the Falcons Dome. It's not that loud. The Vikings Dome is pretty loud. But the Eagles, like the Saints. The Saints Dome, it's loud, but their team's not great. Like, the Eagles fans, you put them in a dome, they might not ever
leave. All right, well, you have Jeff Lurie on your side, so this is going to happen one day.
Well, I got news for everybody. We can debate it all we want.
It's going to happen.
There's a roof going on.
I've resigned myself. Yeah. All right, Elliot, we appreciate it. Have a good rest of your day. We got Ross Tucker coming up next. Your phone call as well, 215-592-9494 to hop in. Do you think the rest will be against the Eagles on Sunday? Ross will sit down with us next. And your calls, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk about Hatfield Bacon, y'all, the MVP of your big game party. You'll score big with recipes made with the Hatfield Bacons. You know, you can make some bacon-wrapped tater tots. I like the sound of that. Or, since we're down here in New Orleans, you get some Bourbon Street Bacon Pub Mix. I don't know what that is, but it sounds really, really good. Or you can go Bacon Ranch Cheese Pinwheels, which I've never had before, but it sounds kind of tasty. Bacon Nachos, Bacon Pizza. Now, that's a Philadelphia Championship lineup. You know how I feel about bacon, so all of these sound good to me. With so much variety like maple brown sugar and hardwood smoked bacon, you're guaranteed to dominate the flavor game. Head to simplyhatfield.com and put some pork on your fork.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, live from New Orleans. Kyle Quinn playing the music back in Philadelphia as we're live on Radio Row here. Eagles, Chiefs, we're getting close now. It is we're not that far away from this football game. Media night last night, opening night, and now we really get ready for it. And joining us now, as he does every week, the Ross Report. You see it on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. We were just admiring Ross's setup here. There's the regular Ross Tucker next to me, and then, like, I don't know, 200 feet
larger
away,
than life,
there's
Ross
like big
Tucker.
Big screen Ross Tucker over
big
there.
Big time Ross
Tucker. Ross, how we doing?
I'm doing okay. Can we zoom out a little bit, by the way? I think I can see my nose hairs on that screen over there. That does make me feel way cooler than I actually am.
No, you're really cool.
Well, you're
man.
In two places
really cool.
at once yeah. right now. You're there. You're here with us. And
blowing up.
Yep, Ross.
That's incredible, actually. I haven't even seen that. They didn't do that yesterday when I was here.
It's pretty cool. All right, Ross, let's get into a lot with the game and the week. Ross, we started the show today talking about what came up yesterday at Goodell's press conference that Clark Hunt was asked about last night. He responded. And even Travis Kelce joking about it. The referee thing. It's become a huge story with the Chiefs. It's become a weekly thing. Troy Aikman a few weeks ago ripping the referees in that game against Texans. How significant do you think it is? Is it overblown? And what we're talking today is the Eagles going to be a disadvantage Sunday? I think it's overblown. Where do you come down?
I love this question. I literally, Joe, I write a column for the 33rd team, you know, that Mike Tannenbaum, mm-hmm. Rick Spielman thing. This mm-hmm. is what I wrote about. I despise people blaming officiating. To me, it's like the loser's lament. In particular, and my favorite team I played for was the Bills. I'm very annoyed by a lot of Bills fans right now. First of all, both the plays that they keep talking about were both reviewed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think the Texans have more beef for the two hits on Mahomes because you're not able to review those. But the two in the Bills game, they were both reviewed. You know, I'm a believer in, to some extent, you make your own breaks. I think we notice calls that go in the Chiefs' favor more so because we're looking for it, and they end up winning the game. You know, I was interviewing Trey Smith, the right guard for the Chiefs last night. By the way, unbelievable player. He's going to break Landon's contract. He's going
to be free agent to be, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. He's going to be the highest paid guard in NFL history in like 2 months, right? Not even. I'm thrilled for him because he plays like, I'm telling you guys right now, Hugh, you got to watch this. Jalen Carter against Trey Smith.
That's going to be the matchup.
Bad boys. I mean, those are guys, they're not just good players. They really want to put you down. They're like old school. Jalen will punch you in the face. Trey Smith, you punch him in the face, he's going to come back and try to kill you. Like, those guys might kill each other.
Ooh,
by the
King
end of
Kong
the game.
Godzilla.
It's unbelievable.
Too
tight. Anyway, in that Texans game, I called that game with Kevin Harlan. They called Trey Smith for a hold. The D-tackle grabbed him by the back of the helmet, pulled him down. It was a terrible call. Nobody mentions that because the Chiefs went on to win. Wasn't there a call in the Super Bowl a couple years ago that one of the Eagles might have fumbled?
It was Miles Sanders by the sideline.
Yes.
And yes.
And it looked like a fumble. But they called it in the Eagles' favor, right?
They said it went out of bounds, no possession for the Chiefs.
Right. Yeah. So my point is they don't get every call. Do we think they get more than their fair share? Probably. But I think that's how we feel about every team that wins a lot. Everybody thought the same thing about the Patriots and Brady.
Yep.
And people with the conspiracy theories, to me, they embarrass themselves. People are like, oh, it's all about gambling. Okay, let's walk through that. Why would gambling be why people bet on the favorites? Why would gambling, the public bets on the favorites, why would they want the Chiefs to keep winning on gambling? Oh, it's Taylor Swift. Explain that one to me. If everybody's sick of watching the Chiefs, and there'd be better ticket sales for the game, and there'd be better ratings if the Bills were in it, then what? No one has any good explanation for these cockamamie conspiracy theories.
Well, the other thing, and you mentioned it, we're hypersensitive, and the Chiefs are in the big game every year. Like 55 million people watch the Bills and Chiefs, right? I think it was the second highest non-Super Bowl ever watched.
Yeah.
So they have all those eyeballs on it, and if something's close, that it just, because they're in this every year, we're hypersensitive to this. If the Eagles play well, Ross, on Sunday, I don't think the referees are going to be a big factor. They'll win the game if they play really well.
No, and the other thing is, you know, it's almost like an NBA thing a little bit. They're so conscious of it now. And I know that those guys are just calling it as they see it. I know that. And that's their job. But on some level, they are human beings.
Sure.
And there's a subconscious thing there that you wonder almost if it's close, if the Eagles get the benefit of the doubt.
Ross Tucker joining us on Radio Row in New Orleans. We get set for Super Bowl 59. All right, Ross, Eagles, you know, we talked all year about their passing game and how it was up and down and not high enough at times. Boy, it was amazing in that game against the Washington Commanders. When you look at this one and this matchup, Jalen Hurts, Kellen Moore, passing game against Steve Spagnuolo, what stands out to you? Because it feels like Spagnuolo always has like a blitz in his back pocket, and then he'll do it at the – I mean, when they all three Super Bowls they've won, I feel like the quarterback on the other side has had a chance to win the game, and they make it hard on him. Garoppolo 5 years ago, Jalen Hurts 2 years ago, and then Purdy last year I thought had real chances to win, and it's just like – can't get over the hump. What does Spagnuolo do? What do you see there?
Well, he's the best situational blitz guy in the league because it's not like they do it all the time. But when they do it, he does an awesome job of breaking down protections and knowing what the tendency is and what his tendency is as a blitzer and then does the opposite. I was still, though, Joe, I know, I've seen Orlovsky and my guy Fitzpatrick talk about why that was a tough blitz to pick up. Dude, it's 4th and 5. You know he's blitzing. How is there not an easier answer for Allen to throw the ball to? I can live with you were going the wrong way or whatever, and so you didn't pick the guy up. But there had to have been receivers with a better answer to get the ball to real quick. I actually go back and forth. I'm curious how you guys feel. It's always a combination of both. If you were playing the Eagles, would you blitz Hurts because he has shown some issues at times with when people blitz him, or would you like mush rush him with four guys because he's also shown a propensity at times to hold on to the ball and to take sacks? I go back and forth as to which one I would do. I think I'd probably major in the mush rush because he takes sacks. He shouldn't. Now, he's better against that at the Commanders, too. He did a lot of things better against the Commanders
very good
that I
week,
thought
yeah.
was highly encouraging.
Would you blitz him here if you were a
Spagnuolo? I was just sitting there thinking about what he said. I think I would probably blitz him, Ross, because that allows for a little bit of confusion for him.
Yeah.
And it also, I'm thinking, maybe it makes him hold on to the ball a little bit longer than you want him to. So maybe some delayed blitz stuff. Because he has a propensity to hold the ball quite a bit.
Yes.
So if I'm disguising stuff on the back end and I send something, a delay dog or something, maybe that might slow him down a little bit. Maybe some TE stunts up front or something like that. But, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because I think a lot of times, you know, we know Jalen's not going to he's not gonna throw the ball if he doesn't feel like the receiver's open.
Right.
He's not going to throw it in tight windows. So, yeah, I'll probably do that. I probably have some delayed dogs, but I'm coming after him.
I think I would play more zone. I feel like he holds it longer in zone. I feel like against the blitz, he'll either get it out or he'll run. I feel like the zone makes like the,
well,
the Rams game.
Like,
he held it a lot. They didn't blitz much. The Rams, it's just they just kind of muddled it up.
It really, as a former offensive lineman, some of the sacks he takes bothers me greatly. I have learned that with every player, there are pros and cons. I've learned to rather than get as frustrated when he takes a sack he shouldn't. I've learned to try to embrace that he's not putting the ball in harm's way. He's not turning it over. And honestly, the Eagles are good enough everywhere else that might be, like, they would have beaten the Commanders even if he had a bad game again. The Eagles could have made the Super Bowl, think about this, with three average at best performances by the quarterback. That doesn't happen very much in the NFL now. Like in the AFC, you're not having three bad performances by your quarterback and getting to the Super Bowl. That's not happening. So think about how good the rest of the Eagles have to be for them to have been in that position. If he had a game like he did against the Packers and Rams, against the Commanders, they still would have won because all the turnovers or whatever.
Yep.
But I do think that they need him to be able to play like he played against the Commanders to win the game.
I agree with that. Ross with us here. Ross, the other side, Fangio against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Now, they faced off a lot, and the numbers are not great for Fangio, but a lot of that was he was the head coach of the Broncos. They didn't have a quarterback. They didn't have much of a team. So it's a little bit different. But this matchup, this defense has played so great this season. But now they go up against Reed and Mahomes with 2 weeks to prepare. This feels like this is an all-time kind of matchup.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I think he's maybe the best I've ever seen, both on third down and red zone. How crazy is it how often guys are wide open in these critical third downs? I'm watching the Bills games, and Pacheco's wide open, then P. Ryan's wide open. These are like the game-clinching plays, and just nobody's covering P. Ryan. What I would say about the Chiefs, I think, is super impressive. It's like they know they're going to be in one-score games, and they save their best for that last. Like, you got to know that that Spagnuolo wanted to call that blitz earlier, and Andy Reid wanted to call those plays earlier, but they thought, nope, we're going to save it. It's going to be a close game. This is our got-to-have-it play. They're like the best got-to-have-it coaches I've ever seen.
Clutch.
It's unbelievable. Because we talk about the players, but I thought that the Chiefs really out-coached the Bills, both sides of the ball. And I thought clearly Andy Reid out-coached Jonathan Gannon 2 years ago in the second half of that game. That can't happen. I don't think it will, but it cannot happen that the Eagles get out-coached.
Ross with us. Well, that was a huge part of that game. I agree with you. I guess because they're so used to these one-score games, they can do that. Because it's amazing. You mentioned this last week, 17 straight one-score victories. I said it yesterday, and maybe I was a little over the top with it, but I almost feel like the Eagles need to win this game in a blowout or by double digit. If it's a four-point game with 2 minutes to go, I'm terrified. I'm terrified.
I've been saying this the whole time, okay? An Eagles win to me is like 34-23, 31-20. I'm not joking. I had a dream last night that the Eagles won 31-18.
Now,
what's weird about that is it was 31-18 at halftime.
And it stayed that way?
Yeah, I don't know what happened in the second half.
That would have to be a Super Bowl record.
It wasn't that vivid of a dream, but it was 31-18 at halftime, and the Eagles held on. But if it's a one-score game late, I'm not saying the Eagles can't win, because they can. But if you asked everybody here, every single person here, in a one-score game, are you going with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, or Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts?
Everyone would say the same thing.
Every single person here would say Mahomes, Andy Reid, until Hurts and Sirianni prove otherwise.
Yeah.
Until they show, and they can do it, but it's just uncanny how often those guys make the critical play late to be able to win those games. I mean, I know that's the way trends go. There's part of my brain that says, it's not going to be 37 one-score games in a row. It's got to end at some point.
At some point, of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this would be a good time for that to end.
Let's do it on Sunday.
I pick Sunday.
I like that. Ross, last one for you. Jeff Lurie last night at media night, he was asked once again, which he's been asked a lot, about the potential of a new stadium for the Eagles, and he talked about balancing what people love here, but also wanting a Super Bowl, wanting a Final Four. You go to all these stadiums. I don't want a dome in Philadelphia, but it feels like we're getting one. What's your take on that?
Yeah, so first of all, the link was 2002, right?
03 was the first year? Oh, two was the last game.
Yeah. So 03, that's right. So the point I would make about the link, that is, have they done, like, upgrades or refurbished over
time? They have some, yeah.
Because compared to these other stadiums I go to every week, that stadium still holds up beautifully. I mean beautifully. If you told me the link was 5 years old, 10 years old, I would believe you. So I hadn't even thought about the idea of a new stadium, to be honest with you, till he was asked about that. This is going on in Cleveland, where their stadium from 99 does not hold up well at all, and they desperately need one. They're trying to move out to the burbs. They want a dome. I understand the draw of being able to bring the big events, the Final Four, but on some level, if every city does this,
sanitized,
and you're going to be in the rotation so infrequently,
what's the advantage? Yeah.
How many times are you really going to get the Final Four? One time in 20 years? How many times are you going to get the Super Bowl? One time in 20 years? Is that worth it? Is the one event to me worth it? That snow game against the Rams,
it'll never happen again.
That was incredible. That game What's the most talked about Eagles regular season game of the last 20 years?
Snowball with Shady.
The Lions Shady McCoy snow game. It's the most talked about game of the last 20 years regular season. And I don't know if the Rams playoff game will get quite to that point, but we'll all remember it.
Especially if they win on Sunday.
And
yeah,
it made it cool. And so I am not a fan of indoor football. I think it's one of the things that makes football cool and unique. It adds to the strategy. You know, Teddy Roosevelt loved football because he thought it was very close in a lot of respects to what happened on the battlefield. You know, you had to have strategy, all that. Weather's part of it. What weather is part of the wind, the precipitation. I think it's what makes football different than basketball and baseball. One of many things that makes it different and cool. It adds to the intrigue. I don't want every game to be in a dome like ESP.
Just had him on before. He said the same thing. He wants the dome. I'm like,
he always wants the
dome. I know.
Unless I'm doing the game on sideline, then I'm totally fine with the dome.
Yeah, he said that. Hughes with that. He's trying to say what. Ross, thanks for hopping on. We appreciate it.
Of course. Good to see you guys in person.
There he goes.
Thank you for a great year. I'll talk to you guys next week.
You got it. There he goes. Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker NFL for the Daily Ross Report. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Chuck in Mount Airy is with us. Chuck.
Dillio.
What up, man?
Hey, Chuck.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, not much, man. We're down here living the dream.
No dome in Philadelphia. I'm getting T-shirts made. No dome in Philadelphia, man. Jeffrey, it ain't worth it. I mean, Ross just made a great point. It is not worth it, man. It really isn't. You know what I mean?
Chuck, let me know where to buy one of those shirts. I want to wear one of those shirts with you. I'm in.
Yeah, I appreciate it because we got to stand up, man. That's our stadium. You know what I mean? We got to stand up, man. We can't have no domes in Philadelphia. I don't know what ESP talking about. But I just wanted to say this real quick, right? Hey, Hugh, don't be down there yupping it up with Andy Reid either, man. Andy's the enemy.
Yeah, Hugh. You better know where your bread is buttered these days.
I ain't did none of the above, man. I've been chilling, man. I ain't done nothing.
Okay, I know that. You got Big Red down there. You know what I mean? Former coach.
I ain't done nothing, man. I've been chilling, man. I ain't been nowhere.
We'll keep an eye on Hugh, yeah.
Yeah, keep an eye on him, man. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, I was just looking at something, though, right? And the referee thing, you know, I want to trust that the NFL has integrity. But it is something there. I'm sorry, man. I watched that Texans game, and it's something there with the Chiefs. I'm not saying that they all out cheat, but I want to trust that the league has integrity, so I don't want to just harp on that too much, and I don't want to focus on that. I hope the players aren't either going into this game. But I watched something, right, and I seen something from CBS, and it was from Pete Prisco. And he's so disrespectful to our quarterback. It's not even funny. It's funny. I want Jalen to play better sometimes. And I want him to, you know, hit the open receiver, things of that nature. But to have the disrespect that some of these people out have, CBS, it's crazy. They rank the top 10 players going into this game, especially playing in Super Bowl 59. And they got Patrick Mahomes, number one, Saquon Barkley, number two, Chris Jones, number three, Jalen Carter, four, Lane Johnson, five, Creed Humphrey, six, Zach Bond, seven, Trent McDuffie, 8, Maya Lotta, 9, A.J. Brown, 10.
So not even top 10.
That is not even in the top 10 in this game, Joe. That is crazy to me. If that is not disrespectful to Jalen, I don't know what is. I hope on Sunday that he comes out and he proves all his doubters, all his people that don't believe him, the people that hate on him, I hope he proves them all wrong. Like I said, sometimes I want him to play better. Absolutely. But to not have him in the top 10 going into this game is ridiculous, man.
Yeah, when you started going through the list, Chuck, those first four or five names, like, I got it, right? Like, those are great players. But then once you start getting to centers and guards and all that, then it becomes like, wow, that's saying something.
That's what they really think. And then they got A.J. Brown at 11. You know, it's just disrespectful all the way around the board. I mean, of course, they got more Chiefs on his list than they do Eagles, which I don't understand because they say we got the more talented team. So I just wanted to call in and say, man, if this is not a level of disrespect to our quarterback, I don't know what is. I hope he goes out there and have a dynamite game on Sunday. He's the most important player on the team. He's not the best player on the team, but he's the most important player on the team. We don't blow the Commanders out without him playing the way he played.
Oh,
and we
agreed.
Don't win Sunday if he don't have an excellent game.
I agree. He's got to play. Chuck, no doubt. I agree. He's got it. And that was the difference. That they can win, like Ross just told us. A good call, Chuck. They can win if Jalen doesn't play great. But that's the difference between the Eagles being great and good is Jalen. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. I'll get back to all your phone calls here. The referees. Do you believe the referees will be against the Eagles on Sunday? I don't. I think we're overblowing this. If the Eagles play well, they're going to win this football game. And we'll get to some more of your phone calls, plus audio from Media Night last night. It's the Midday Show live from New Orleans on Sports Radio 94 WIP. A great lawn. Play a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. It's more affordable than you think. They'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Head to truegreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, live from New Orleans. Kyle Quinn playing the music back in Philadelphia as we're live on Radio Row here. Eagles, Chiefs, we're getting close now. It is, we're not that far away from this football game. Media night last night, opening night, and now we really get ready for it. And joining us now, as he does every week, the Ross Report. You see it on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. We were just admiring Ross's setup here. There's the regular Ross Tucker next to me, and then, like, I don't know, 200 feet
larger
away,
than life Ross
like big
Tucker.
Screen Ross Tucker over
big
there.
Big time Ross
Tucker. Ross, how we doing?
I'm doing okay. Can we zoom out a little bit, by the way? I think I can see my nose hairs on that screen over there. That does make me feel way cooler than I actually am.
No, you're really cool.
Well, you're
man.
In two you're places
really
cool. at once yeah. right now. You're there. You're here with us. And
blowing up.
Yep, Ross.
That's incredible, actually. I haven't even seen that. They didn't do that yesterday when I was here.
It's pretty cool. All right, Ross, let's get into a lot with the game and the week. Ross, we started the show today talking about what came up yesterday at Goodell's press conference that Clark Hunt was asked about last night. He responded. And even Travis Kelce joking about it. The referee thing. It's become a huge story with the Chiefs. It's become a weekly thing. Troy Aikman a few weeks ago ripping the referees in that game against Texans. How significant do you think it is? Is it overblown? And what we're talking today is the Eagles going to be at a disadvantage Sunday? I think it's overblown. Where do you come down?
I love this question. I literally, Joe, I write a column for the 33rd team, you know, that Mike Tannenbaum, mm-hmm. Rick Spielman thing. This mm-hmm. is what I wrote about. I despise people blaming officiating. To me, it's like the loser's lament. In particular, and my favorite team I played for was the Bills. I'm very annoyed by a lot of Bills fans right now. First of all, both the plays that they keep talking about were both reviewed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think the Texans have more beef for the two hits on Mahomes because you're not able to review those. But the two for in the Bills game, they were both reviewed. You know, I'm a believer in, to some extent, you make your own breaks. I think we notice calls that go in the Chiefs' favor more so because we're looking for it and they end up winning the game. You know, I was interviewing Trey Smith, the right guard for the Chiefs last night. By the way, unbelievable player. He's going to break Landon's contract. He's going
to be free agent to be, right?
Oh, yeah, my gosh. Yeah. He's going to be the highest paid guard in NFL history in like 2 months, right? Not even. I'm thrilled for him because he plays like, I'm telling you guys right now, Hugh, you got to watch this. Jalen Carter against Trey Smith.
That's going to be the matchup.
Bad boys. I mean, those are guys, they're not just good players. They really want to put you down. They're like old school. Jalen will punch you in the face. Trey Smith, you punch him in the face, he's going to come back and try to kill you. Like, those guys might kill each other by the
King
end of the
Kong
game.
King Kong Godzilla type deals.
Oh, like, it's unbelievable.
Two times.
But anyway, in that Texans game, I called that game with Kevin Harlan. They called Trey Smith for a hold. The D tackle grabbed him by the back of the helmet, pulled him down. It was a terrible call. Nobody mentions that because the Chiefs went on to win. Wasn't there a call in the Super Bowl a couple years ago that one of the Eagles might have fumbled?
It was Miles Sanders by the sideline.
Yes.
And yes.
And it looked like a fumble, but they called it in the Eagles' favor, right?
They said it went out of bounds, no possession for the Chiefs.
Right. Yeah. So my point is they don't get every call. Do we think they get more than their fair share? Probably, but I think that's how we feel about every team that wins a lot. Everybody thought the same thing about the Patriots and Brady.
Yep.
And people with the conspiracy theories, to me, they embarrass themselves. People are like, oh, it's all about gambling. Okay, let's walk through that. Why would gambling be why people bet on the favorites? Why would gambling, the public bets on the favorites, why would they want the Chiefs to keep winning on gambling? Oh, it's Taylor Swift. Explain that one to me. If everybody's sick of watching the Chiefs, and there'd be better ticket sales for the game, and there'd be better ratings if the Bills were in it, then what? No one has any good explanation for these cockamamie conspiracy theories.
Well, the other thing, and you mentioned it, we're hypersensitive, and the Chiefs are in the big game every year. Like 55 million people watch the Bills and Chiefs, right? I think it was the second highest non-Super Bowl ever watched.
Yeah.
So they have all those eyeballs on it, and if something's close, that it just – because they're in this every year, we're hypersensitive to this. If the Eagles play well, Ross, on Sunday, I don't think the referees are going to be a big factor. They'll win the game if they play really well.
No, and the other thing is, you know, it's almost like an NBA thing a little bit. They're so conscious of it now. And I know that those guys are just calling it as they see it. I know that, and that's their job. But on some level, they are human beings.
Sure.
And there's a subconscious thing there that you wonder almost if it's close, if the Eagles get the benefit of the doubt.
Ross Tucker joining us on Radio Row in New Orleans. We get set for Super Bowl 59. All right, Ross, Eagles, you know, we talked all year about their passing game and how it was up and down and not high enough at times. Boy, it was amazing in that game against the Washington Commanders. When you look at this one and this matchup, Jalen Hurts, Kellen Moore, passing game against Steve Spagnuolo. What stands out to you there? Because it feels like Spagnuolo always has like a blitz in his back pocket, and then he'll do it at the – I mean, when they all three Super Bowls they've won, I feel like the quarterback on the other side has had a chance to win the game, and they make it hard on him. Garoppolo 5 years ago, Jalen Hurts 2 years ago, and then Purdy last year I thought had real chances to win, and it's just like can't get over the hump. What does Spagnuolo do? What do you see there?
Well, he's the best situational – blitz guy in the league, because it's not like they do it all the time, but when they do it, he does an awesome job of breaking down protections and knowing what the tendency is and what his tendency is as a blitzer, and then does the opposite. I was still though, Joe, I know I've seen Orlovsky and my guy Fitzpatrick talk about why that was a tough blitz to pick up. Dude, it's 4th and 5. You know he's blitzing. How is there not an easier answer for Allen to throw the ball to? I can live with you were going the wrong way, or whatever, and so you didn't pick the guy up. But there had to have been receivers with a better answer to get the ball to real quick. I actually go back and forth. I'm curious how you guys feel. It's always a combination of both. If you were playing the Eagles, would you blitz Hurts because he has shown some issues at times with when people blitz him, or would you, like, mush rush him with four guys because he's also shown a propensity at times to hold on to the ball and to take sack? I go back and forth as to which one I would do. I think I'd probably major in the mush rush because he takes sacks. He shouldn't. Now, he's better against that at the Commanders, too. He did a lot of things better against the Commanders
very good
that I
week,
thought
yeah.
was highly encouraging.
Would you blitz him here if you were a
Spino? I was just sitting there thinking about what he said. I think I would probably blitz him, Ross, because that allows for a little bit of confusion for him.
Yeah.
And it also, I'm thinking maybe it makes him hold on to the ball a little bit longer than you want him to. So maybe some delayed blitz stuff because he has a propensity to hold the ball quite a bit.
Yes.
So if I'm disguising stuff on the back end, and I send something, a delayed dog or something, maybe that might slow him down a little bit. Maybe some TE stunts up front or something like that. But, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because I think a lot of times, you know, we know Jalen's not going to he's not gonna throw the ball if he doesn't feel like the receiver is open.
Right.
He's not going to throw it in tight windows. So, yeah, I'll probably do that. I'll probably test some delayed dogs, but I'm coming after him.
I think I would play more zone. I feel like he holds it longer in zone. I feel like against the blitz, he'll either get it out or he'll run. I feel like the zone makes like the Rams game. Like, he held it a lot. They didn't blitz much. The Rams, it's just they just kind of muddled it up.
It really, as a former offensive lineman, some of the sacks he takes bothers me greatly. I have learned that with every player, there are pros and cons. I've learned to, rather than get as frustrated when he takes a sack he shouldn't, I've learned to try to embrace that he's not putting the ball in harm's way. He's not turning it over. And honestly, the Eagles are good enough everywhere else that might be – like, they would have beaten the Commanders even if he had a bad game again. The Eagles could have made the Super Bowl – think about this – with three average at best performances by the quarterback. That doesn't happen very much in the NFL now. Like, in the AFC, you're not having three bad performances by your quarterback and getting to the Super Bowl. That's not happening. So think about how good – the rest of the Eagles have to be for them to have been in that position. If he had a game like he did against the Packers and Rams, against the Commanders, they still would have won because all the turnovers or whatever.
Yep.
But I do think that they need him to be able to play like he played against the Commanders to win the game.
I agree with that. Ross with us here. Ross, the other side, Fangio against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Now, they faced off a lot, and the numbers are not great for Fangio, but a lot of that was – he was the head coach of the Broncos. They didn't have a quarterback. They didn't have much of a team. So it's a little bit different. But this matchup, this defense has played so great this season. But now they go up against Reid and Mahomes with 2 weeks to prepare. This feels like this is an all-time kind of matchup.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I think he's maybe the best I've ever seen, both on third down and red zone. How crazy is it how often guys are wide open in these critical third downs? I'm watching the Bills games, and Pacheco's wide open, then P. Ryan's wide open. These are like the game-clinching plays, and just nobody's covering P. Ryan. What I would say about the Chiefs, I think, is super impressive. It's like they know they're going to be in one-score games, and they save their best for that last. Like, you got to know that Spagnuolo wanted to call that blitz earlier, and Andy Reid wanted to call those plays earlier, but they thought, nope, we're going to save it. It's going to be a close game. This is our got-to-have-it play. They're like the best got-to-have-it coaches I've ever seen.
Clutch.
It's unbelievable. Because we talk about the players, but I thought that the Chiefs really out-coached the Bills, both sides of the ball. And I thought clearly Andy Reid out-coached Jonathan Gannon 2 years ago in the second half of that game. That can't happen. I don't think it will. But it cannot happen that the Eagles get out-coached.
Ross with us. Well, that was a huge part of that game. I agree with you. I guess because they're so used to these one-score games, they can do that. Because it's amazing. You mentioned this last week, 17 straight one-score victories. I said it yesterday, and maybe I was a little over the top with it, but I almost feel like the Eagles need to win this game in a blowout or double digit. If it's a 4-point game with 2 minutes to go, I'm terrified. I'm terrified.
I've been saying this the whole time, okay? An Eagles win to me is like 34-23, 31-20. I'm not joking. I had a dream last night that the Eagles won 31-18. Now, what's weird about that is it was 31-18 at halftime.
And it stayed that way?
Yeah, I don't know what happened in the second half.
That would have to be a Super Bowl record.
It wasn't that vivid of a dream, but it was 31-18 at halftime, and the Eagles held on. But if it's a one-score game late, I'm not saying the Eagles can't win, because they can. But if you asked everybody here, every single person here, in a one-score game, are you going with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes or Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts?
Everyone would say the same thing.
Every single person here would say Mahomes, Andy Reid, until Hurts and Sirianni prove otherwise.
Yeah.
Until they show, and they can do it, but it's just uncanny how often those guys make the critical play late to be able to win those games. I know that's the way trends go. There's part of my brain that says, it's not going to be 37 one-score games in a row. It's got to end at some point.
Of course,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this would be a good time for that to end.
Let's do it on Sunday.
I pick Sunday.
I like that. Ross, last one for you. Jeff Lurie last night at media night, he was asked once again, which he's been asked a lot, about the potential of a new stadium for the Eagles, and he talked about balancing what people love here, but also wanting a Super Bowl, wanting a Final Four. You go to all these stadiums. I don't want a dome in Philadelphia, but it feels like we're getting one. What's your take on that?
Yeah, so first of all, the link was 2002, right?
2003 was the first year? Oh, 2002 was the last game.
Yeah, yeah, so 2003. 2003, that's right. So the point I would make about the link, that is, have they done, like, upgrades or refurbished over time?
They have some, yeah.
Because compared to these other stadiums I go to every week, that stadium still holds up beautifully. I mean beautifully. If you told me the link was 5 years old,
yeah,
10 years old, I would believe you. So I hadn't even thought about the idea of a new stadium, to be honest with you, till he was asked about that. This is going on in Cleveland, where their stadium from 99 does not hold up well at all, and they desperately need one. They're trying to move out to the burbs. They want a dome. I understand the draw of being able to bring the big events, the Final Four, but on some level, if every city does this,
sanitized,
and you're going to be in the rotation so infrequently,
what's the advantage? Yeah.
How many times are you really going to get the Final Four? One time in 20 years? How many times are you going to get the Super Bowl? One time in 20 years? Is that worth it? Is the one event to me worth it? That snow game against the Rams,
it'll never happen again.
That was incredible. That game, what's the most talked about Eagles regular season game of the last 20 years?
Snowball with Shady.
The Lions, Shady McCoy snow game. It's the most talked about game of the last 20 years regular season. And I don't know if the Rams playoff game will get quite to that point, but we'll all remember it.
Especially if they win on Sunday.
And
yeah,
it made it cool. And so I am not a fan of indoor football. I think it's one of the things that makes football cool and unique. It adds to the strategy. You know, Teddy Roosevelt loved football because he thought it was very close in a lot of respects to what happened on the battlefield. You know, you had to have strategy, all that. Weather's part of it. What weather is part of the wind, the precipitation. I think it's what makes football different than basketball and baseball. One of many things that makes it different and cool. It adds to the intrigue. I don't want every game to be in a dome like ESP.
He just had him on before. He said the same thing. He wants the dome. I'm like,
he always wants the dome.
I know.
Unless I'm doing the game on sideline, then I'm totally fine with the dome.
Yeah, he said that. Hughes with that. Ross, thanks for hopping on. We appreciate it.
Of course. Good to see you guys in person.
Thank
you for a great year. I'll talk to you guys next week.
You got it. There he goes. Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker NFL for the Daily Ross Report. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Chuck in Mount Airy is with us. Chuck!
Gilio.
What up, man?
Hey, Chuck.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, not listen, much, man. We're down here living the dream.
No dome in Philadelphia. I'm getting T-shirts made. No dome in Philadelphia, man. Jeffrey, it ain't worth it. I mean, Ross just made a great point. It is not worth it, man. It really isn't. You know what I mean?
Chuck, let me know where to buy one of those shirts. I want to wear one of those shirts with you. I'm in.
Yeah, I appreciate it because we got to stand up, man. That's our stadium. You know what I mean? We got to stand up, man. We can't have no domes in Philadelphia. I don't know what ESP talking about. But I just wanted to say this real quick, right? Hey, Hugh, don't be down there yupping it up with Andy Reid either, man. Andy's the enemy.
Yeah, Hugh.
All right?
You better know where your bread is buttered these days.
I ain't did none of the above, man. I've been chilling, man. I ain't done nothing.
Okay, I know that. You got Big Red down there, you know what I mean? Former coach.
I ain't done nothing, man. I've been chilling, man. I ain't been nowhere.
We'll keep an eye on Hugh, yeah.
Yeah, keep an eye on him, man. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, I was just looking at something, though, right? And the referee thing, you know, I want to trust that the NFL has integrity. But it is something there. I'm sorry, man. I watched that Texans game, and it's something there with the Chiefs. I'm not saying that they all out cheat, but I want to trust that the league has integrity. So I don't want to just harp on that too much, and I don't want to focus on that. I hope the players aren't either going into this game. But I watched something, right, and I seen something from CBS, and it was from Pete Prisco. And he's so disrespectful to our quarterback. It's not even funny. It's funny. I want Jalen to play better sometimes. And I want him to, you know, hit the open receiver, things of that nature. But to have the disrespect that some of these people have, CBS, it's crazy. They rank the top 10 players going into this game, especially playing in Super Bowl 59. And they got Patrick Mahomes, number one, Saquon Barkley, number two, Chris Jones, number three, Jalen Carter, four, Lane Johnson, five, Creed Humphrey, six, Zach Bond, seven, Trent McDuffie, 8, Maya Lotta, 9, A.J. Brown, 10.
So not even top 10.
That is not even in the top 10 in this game, Joe. That is crazy to me. If that is not disrespectful to Jalen, I don't know what is. I hope on Sunday that he comes out and he proves all his doubters, all his people that don't believe him, the people that hate on him. I hope he proves them all wrong. Like I said, sometimes I want him to play better. Absolutely, but to not have him in the top 10 going into this game is ridiculous, man.
Yeah, when
ridiculous.
You started going through the I'm list, Chuck, like those first four or five names, like I got it, right? Like those are great players. But then once you start getting to centers and guards and all that, then it becomes like, wow, that's saying something.
That's what they really think. And then they got A.J. Brown at 11. You know, it's just disrespectful all the way around the board. I mean, of course, they got more Chiefs on his list than they do Eagles, which I don't understand because they say we got the more talented team. So I just wanted to call in and say, man, if this is not a level of disrespect to our quarterback, I don't know what is. I hope he goes out there and have a dynamite game on Sunday.
Dynamite.
He's the most important player on the team. He's not the best player on the team, but he's the most important player on the team. We don't blow the Commanders out without him playing the way he played.
Oh,
we don't win Sunday if he don't have an excellent game.
I agree. So, he's got to play. Chuck, no doubt. I agree. He's got it. And that was the difference. That they can win, like Ross just told us. A good call, Chuck. They can win if Jalen doesn't play great. But that's the difference between the Eagles being great and good is Jalen. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. I'll get back to all your phone calls here. The referees. Do you believe the referees will be against the Eagles on Sunday? I don't. I think we're overblowing this. If the Eagles play well, they're going to win this football game. And we'll get to some more of your phone calls, plus audio from Media Night last night. It's the Midday Show live from New Orleans on Sports Radio 94 WIP. A great lawn. Play a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. It's more affordable than you think. They'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Head to TrueGreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.